exactly does it mean to share your hotness? We all have our own unique spark. We are burning out of control like a wildfire, attracting attention, but is it the right kind of attention? All around us are people who are campfires. They don't get as much attention, but their story, their signature spark, their heat that attracts us close to them, those stories need to be shared. On this podcast, we're sharing their stories of resilience, overcoming, how to find joy, happiness, everyday people who found their spark and made their life amazing. Hello, and welcome to this episode of Share Your Hotness with your host, Lita Green, and my guest today, Mele Makenase. Did I get it? You're just shaking your head. Yes. Okay. So for all of you who know that I slaughtered that, you already know that Mele is being super sweet to me. Mele and I go back, I'm guessing, 8 or so years.
It's been a while. Yeah.
It's been a minute. And yes. You were on my makeup team, and you know, we play makeup together, and but we're still friends. I'm not the kind of person that's like, how much are you producing on my team? Because I just feel like, you know, you just let people do what they want to do, you know? And at one point, Mele remembers when I had 1,000 people on my team and I literally lost my voice. So people are like, Lita, do you miss that? And I'm like, no, I love talking. You know, it's not being able to talk. It's not really that much fun. It was just crazy. It was craziness. But, you know, we've connected on a deeper level, and I'm really excited to have her on. So before we get into our topic, do you want to just give people a little bit of who you are? You're making a grimace face. Come on. You're going to have to be verbal. I know. You're from what island are you from? Because you're obviously Polynesian.
I'm Tongan.
So are Tongans known for not being talkers?
No, there are Tongans out there that won't be quiet.
Okay. But you know, you're like, keep doing all these nonverbals. I'm like, Mele, it's a podcast. And it's so cute because she's even got a flower in her hair. Like, she's Moana. I love it. And Moana, which island was Moana from? Hawaii?
I think she was a mixture of all the islands. She wasn't really specifically made from one.
You're being culturally diverse, but without making a statement. Okay.
Yes.
You know. Do the Tongans like that movie, the Moana movie?
I think so. My whole family likes it.
Okay. Well, I heard a really interesting thing. You know how she like goes into the ocean and then she can like see spirits and talk to spirits and all this, but they're like, she's dead. And that's why she has supernatural powers.
Huh?
I know. I heard that. And I was like, so I was watching it with some kids and I was like, makes sense. But they don't want to make kids sad. And there's the same theory about Elsa, Frozen Princess, because, you know, Anna becomes the queen. Why would Anna become the queen unless Elsa was dead? Again, they just didn't want to make kids sad.
Oh, see? Okay.
Yeah. You know, but okay. So tell them a little bit about you with words.
With words. I am the second oldest of 8 children, 7 girls and 1 boy. My family is very close. We have tons of fun, and I'm sure my neighbors think that we're crazy because we're so loud all the time.
I have some neighbors that are Tongan and Samoan that have married each other, and I know that's like, whoa, there's like a rivalry between Tonga and Samoa. Anyway,
I think it depends on who you're talking to, because one of my best friends is Samoan, so.
Yeah, I think rivalries are, you know, like, unless it's just like fun and good fun rivalry, like, you know, sports or whatever. I think it's kind of silly to not like other humans. But anyway, they are delightful. We love having Polynesian neighbors, and they do have a lot of like family events, and we're like literally like, can they've invited us over, and it's like, what's one more when you got 50 people?
Right.
And they
Sure.
took our son to a BYU football like meet and greet thing and told everybody he was their cousin, which was pretty obvious that he was not their cousin, but he got in this very like VIP event as a Polynesian with blue eyes and blonde hair. So love the inclusive nature of everybody's family of the Polynesian culture. So I love that.
But
Unless, of course, you're Tongan versus Samoan, then not family.
no. I've also just moved here. It's been a year since I've been in
From
Utah,
California,
so
right?
I'm from California. Yeah, I'm loving it. I love the mountains out here. It's just a beautiful place. I love that there's a lot of family activities that they have available here in Utah.
How do you feel about the snow?
I didn't think it was that bad. I don't like driving in it, but it wasn't as bad as everybody was saying it was going to
Well,
be.
this winter was pretty timid, but
Yeah.
it did have cold. So if you're okay
Yeah,
with
it
the
was
cold, you'll
cold.
be fine. You know, there was cold, but
Yeah, it was cold.
like 2 winters ago, we got dumped on. I mean, it was crazy, but you know, we just get those like every 10 years and then it, you know.
Yeah. Well, they said last year it was really, really bad.
Okay.
And that this year was going to be the same. I was bracing myself, and then it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Well, you know, Utah is technically a desert, so we're always happy when we get moisture, you know? Okay.
That's fair.
So, 8 kids, one boy.
Yes.
Is he just like afraid of women or is he fine?
No, he's fine. He actually, normally, if we went to an event, he'll be this. You'll hear a lot of women laughing, and he's normally the reason why.
Because he knows how, so
So
is he
he's
married?
comfortable. Yes, he is.
Okay, because I was like, I bet he knew how to flirt because he knew what worked and what the girls made fun of
Yes,
to do.
that really helped him out, I'm sure.
And where is he in the birth order?
He's number five.
Okay, so yeah, he had 4 older sisters, so definitely being told what's for.
Yes.
So, okay, anything else you want to tell him about you, Mile?
I love dancing. I'm picking up like Latin dancing.
Oh, Latin dancing. Okay, cool.
So bachata is my favorite. And I love volleyball. So those are the two things that really make me happy is when I get out and do that stuff. Right now I work for Geneva Rock as a quality control field technician. And so it's exciting.
Okay, so
It's a lot.
what does a quality control technician do at Geneva Rock?
I'm in the asphalt division, so I
Okay.
am testing the asphalt after they pave it and stuff. Test, I sample like core. Yeah, just check densities and make sure that it looks good and that there's good quality roads out there.
And you like it.
I love it.
And it's important to have good quality roads. So, is this something that you did before in California, work with asphalt, or is this something you just kind of got
No, this
connected
is
here?
new. Yeah.
Okay. So, how did you get that job?
I was doing quality control in California, and my brother-in-law is a ready-mix driver at Geneva, and he heard that they were hired for QC, and I applied and got the job. So,
There you go. And are you different locations like every day and everything?
yes, when the season starts, I'm at whatever job sites we're paving.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you do when they're not paving?
When we're not paving, like during the winter, I'm in the lab. And
Okay.
so there we batch and we, I forget what it's called. We do mixed designs. Because there's a lot that actually goes into asphalt that people don't really think about. And so we do all that stuff in the lab.
Okay, what do people not normally think about with asphalt? Because I'm like black
Yeah. For me, it's what
rocks,
it's the black hot stuff you walk
right? You know,
on.
and in
But
Arizona they don't use it because you get rivets in the road because it melts, so they use concrete.
oh yeah,
Yeah.
too hot. They use different different size rocks and sand and material and mix together with the oils. And there's just different amounts that you add that makes a certain kind of mix, I guess.
Okay.
And so not all asphalt is made the same. Like, depending on what city, I guess, they'll use different types
Huh.
of asphalt or sizes of rocks and stuff. Like, they have different mix, what I call recipes, because it makes
Okay.
sense to me. So it's like
Okay.
putting different size rocks together with the sand and then a certain kind of mixture of the oil
So is
into it.
it like dependent on weather?
Yes, it's supposed
Okay.
to, yeah, we do that also with the weather, depending on, like, because it snows out here and stuff.
Right. So the
I'm still
asphalt here is going to be different than Northern Arizona, where it's not as hot as like Phoenix area that I was referring to, where the asphalt melts.
right. Yeah, and I'm still new to it, so I'm still learning all of it, and it's exciting. It's fun, it's cool. And so yeah, now I collect rocks on
Oh,
job
perfect.
sites.
I have a rock collection.
Okay.
Yeah, my mother had a rock collection, and so I've kind of had the rock collection every once, so I'm like, this would be pretty in the rock collection. It's in the window well. Sometime you can come over and I can show you
Oh.
the rocks. You know, there's some good ones.
Yeah, I
And I have
collect
some
hard.
from like Alaska.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, you know. But it's always fun, like you're out on a little hike, you know, and it's like the little kid in you, right? You know, and sometimes I've been out on hikes and little kids are collecting rocks, and I feel like I need to share my rocks with them because, you know,
Yeah.
they need to they have the input of a 50-year-old into their collection, right?
Right.
So we were messaging on Facebook, and you just shared the most profound message about love, and I was like, there's a story behind this. Of how you learned the connectivity of love and how that connects. And I won't ruin it. I'll let you share it.
So I'm just trying to read again, like, what it was that I wrote.
And she's like, it was really well said and it was really beautiful. And I was like, oh, I love that. You know?
Well, I guess for me, so, like, I collect heart-shaped rocks, and I actually found one today.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're like grabbing the rock, huh? I love it. Okay.
So I don't know
Oh,
if you can.
it's looks blue to me.
Yeah, it's, well, it's kind of white and it's like two-toned. So yeah. It's,
Yeah, it's kind of a grayish blue, and
yeah.
part of the corner of it is a gradiated. Yeah, perfect. I love that.
Yeah.
So, what do they mean to you when you find a heart-shaped rock?
First thing I think of is God. And when I first started finding hearts everywhere, it was normally when I was feeling down or depressed or sad, and like life was just having its way with me, and like,
Yeah.
difficult. And so my very first heart that I ever noticed was when I cut a lemon. It was a weird looking lemon on the outside, but when I cut it in the inside, it was like the perfect heart.
Huh.
And that
And so that was
really
like in a
needed it.
period
And
of,
so
that was
I
like in
felt
a
like it was a
period of,
message from God.
sorry, our sound wasn't awesome right there. So you were like in a period of depression or sadness, and you cut into this lemon, and there's a heart shaped in the, I mean, I've never even seen that in a lemon.
Yeah.
That's probably why it kind of struck you as you were like,
Yeah.
what is this doing there? And so you're saying that made you think of like God. Is it like, did you feel like a prompting, or were you kind of like asking God for something in that moment, or?
I think in that moment, because it was when I was juicing. I used to work at Chick-fil-A, and we would juice their I would be in the back making the lemon juice for the lemonade. And so that time is when I meditate or I pray and I talk to God. It's like my time with him. And when you cut the lemon, if I cut it another way, it wouldn't have been a heart. But I guess the specific way I cut it, it showed a perfect heart. And I had to stop. I took pictures. I have pictures somewhere. And I realized, or I strongly feel every time that it's God's message to me, as in he's present in my life. He's aware of what I'm going through, my struggles, or even the good parts of life. You know, it's just a reminder of his presence. So every time I find a heart, it's a reminder of God's presence in my life.
And I love this because I've shared the story before, but there was a I was in the airport and this lady, we started talking and she started sharing with me how at every turning point in her life, she would have like a seashell or an image of a seashell. She would see a seashell and she was like from Indiana or something. So not a place that had seashells. And I just, hearing her story and listening to her, and we had plenty of time. So she pulled me through her whole life and all these different times of the seashell. And I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like God was just connecting with you. And she's like, God? And I was like, oh yeah, well, what you're describing there, I would call God. And I wasn't trying to like impose my beliefs on her. I was just interpreting what I was hearing her saying, like, oh, that sounds like God. And she goes, I would just love to know if there was a God. And I, kind of expressed to her, and I was, again, I wasn't trying to impose on her my beliefs or preach to her, but I just kind of shared with her my knowledge that God was real. And she was coughing a little bit. And I always have cough drops in my jacket because I have a throat condition that makes me cough or, and I'm as a speaker, that's a little bit untimely, right? And so I reached in my pocket to get her out one of these cough drops and I pull it out and the contents of my hand are in front of her. And there in my hand next to a cough drop was what? A seashell. And this girl is not like a Polynesian girl. Like there's no reason she would like have grown up around the ocean. And we both just started crying because we knew. I mean, and she walked away a believer in God's interactions in her life, not because she just didn't know what to call that before. And she'd heard things about God, but she didn't recognize that those little connection points were God. And in that moment, it was like obvious because why would a girl from Utah have a seashell in her pocket? And in my winter pocket, Like it was just weird. And I think we were like in Chicago at the time or something at an airport. And so when I love that God is always there, but he is enough of a gentleman that he doesn't force himself, right? And so you are in this moment. I'm just seeing, Miley in this moment of do I matter? And then something so simple but so profound and individual. And you found even a rock heart, heart, you get what you look for in life.
Exactly. Yep. So true.
Okay, so you talked about like periods of depression. Is that something that like runs in your family? Or I mean, I think everybody has times, that they're on some kind of spectrum of depression, I think people are too quick to be like, oh, I was sad today. I'm depressed. It's like depression is something that exists day after day, sometimes week after week, consistently. So you're doing the head shake. Do you want to share something about it, or am I poking it too personal?
No, I'm actually an open book. I will talk about everything and anything, especially if it's going to benefit other people.
That's what I hope this podcast does is somebody's going to connect with it. And it's really cool the messages we get that people are like, oh, I really love that guest. And I'm like, well, please reach out to them and tell them, because it's nice for me to hear it, but the guest wants, you know, it's fun for them to hear it too. So.
Yeah. I know at that time it's kind of like I feel like we all experience where life doesn't really work out the way we planned and hoped and dreamed it would. And so at that time, I think it was just that part of life, like kind of feeling depressed that it was like it hasn't happened the way I planned and wished it was gonna happen.
Talking
But
about like romance stuff or just adulting.
I think a little bit of both, but yeah, mainly I had thought I'd be married by then, you know, and stuff. I thought that I would have a family, that I would have children. And life wasn't as, I guess for me, it wasn't as fun or exciting because the fun and exciting was a husband with children and building that family and that relationship, along with other things, you know.
And I think it's such a hard thing, and especially when, you know, we're religious and believe in the power of family, and we have community that is so enwrapped in families. And I know in my years that I, you know, had miscarriages, I felt like a lot of identity with those that were single because I was mourning, you know, something that had eternal value, having a kid. And they were mourning that something that had eternal value, a husband and kids, you know? And it doesn't mean that that can't happen, but in the years that it doesn't, it's so hard
It
because it's a good thing to want.
is.
And I would struggle so much with people that would complain about their kids or their husbands. I'd be like, why is she married? Did he not check out that she was a whiny pants, you know, before? You know, it's like investigate their attitudes. Anyway, you know, and that I just struggle having compassion with that because I'd be like, do you know how many people would love to have what you're complaining about?
Right.
But that's never a useful thing to say to people.
It's
That's not how you win friends and influence people.
not. No. No.
Yeah, it's so. Do you mind me asking how old you are, Mile?
I am 38. I had to
Yeah,
think of it.
and you're like 38, and in and in you know, there's only so many years of the uterus.
Yeah,
I mean, I
exactly.
was pregnant at 36, and I know, you know, Joni had
Yes.
a baby at 51.
I
Yeah, that's
didn't
why
know
her
that.
kids have a 22-year age span difference between them.
Wow.
Yeah, it was around 50. It was either just under 50 or just over 50. So, you know,
Wow.
but still, it's just poopy. It's just hard. You
Yeah.
know? You know, I mean, I just celebrated my daughter who died's birthday, and you know, you don't know what days to celebrate. Right, because you know the birthdays that could have been. Right, here I'm going to make you sad. I guess I'm empathizing too much. You're going to be like, "Well, thanks, Lita. That was a bummer."
No, you're right, 'cause there are times that, yeah, it's harder to celebrate. It's harder, you know.
Right.
It just
Yeah.
varies. Yeah.
Well, I'm giving you a hug. Because I think the hardest thing that happens in life are the things that are good that we don't get and being okay with that.
Definitely 100. Yep. Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, I think in religious circles we talk about, you know, like the miracles, right? And I'm like, I have a hard time when people say, oh, I prayed and then this happened. And it was a miracle. And I'm like, so is it your prayers that made it happen? Or is it that God allowed it to happen? Because there are people that pray and they don't get the thing. And so, what does it mean to have faith when you pray and you don't get what you want? That to me is the greater story of faith. That's the Job, right?
Right.
Job was righteous. Job was a good guy. And we know he prayed. And even in his tribulations, he thanked God. That's why that story is there, is because being good does not qualify us for everything we want. It just helps us not be disqualified from
Right.
everything we want. And that's a very different thing.
Right.
Oh, I prayed, and so therefore I got what I wanted. I'm like, eh.
Yeah, there's more to it than that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, literally, after my daughter died, someone came to me, and they obviously weren't thinking with their brain. And they were like, so did you ever think to like pray that she would live? And again,
Wow.
I don't think they were thinking, but I think they were so wrapped up in this pray equals what I prayed for.
Right.
And so I'm like, oh, in the 7 months that I was on bed rest with her, and all that whole pregnancy, and dang it, I should have done that. And of course, I was being so sarcastic that they kind of went, oh, and I was like, yeah, you just said that. It's like, yep, you said that. And it was a couple years before they could look at me straight in the eye, because I just kept like, it's okay. I know where that came from. The stupid part of the connection between your brain and your mouth. I know it, was too out of your frame of reference, but you never know what's around the corner of goodness. But if we don't get the good thing, can we still love ourselves? Can we still love others? Can we still love God? That's the real question.
Right. Yes. And I've had to think a lot about that, where when I lost my husband, it
And you
was
guys were
difficult.
married for a very short time too, because he had health problems, if I remember correctly, right?
He passed away from COVID.
Oh, okay. So there was a health thing, but how long were you married?
29 days.
Okay, that I did remember, that was really short, but I did not remember it was that short.
Yeah.
Oh, Mele, I.
But to me,
The
it's
problem
those.
with being married for 29 days, did you guys even have a fight?
No.
Yeah, I mean, he's perfect. No one, I mean,
Yeah.
just so I'm happily married. And it was probably about 4 or 5 months in before we had a disagreement. And I remember looking across him. We were standing in our bedroom and just looking at him across the bed and being like, I can't believe that we're having a fight, but this is what's happening. And then we're just like staring at each other. And that was enough to break the tension on that. But just so happily married people have disagreements. So when you get married again, just so that's not normal to never fight with your spouse.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so it's not going to be a fair comparison, because you were
And
married
no.
to a perfect man for 29 days.
Yes, I totally agree.
I'm sorry, I'm making light of it, just because that's just so painful. Yeah.
Is.
And from COVID.
Yes. Yeah. But I've learned that my biggest trials is God has used that as God has used my trial as an opportunity to reveal his hand in my life.
Preach it.
And it's through those trials that my faith and connection to him is solidified, because I know that I would not be able to overcome or walk through the darkness without his light. And that he's my strength, because there are days that you don't even want to get out of bed,
Yeah.
that you don't want
Yeah.
to do anything, that you just want to stay in that darkness and that pain. And the beautiful thing is that the Savior stays with you until you're ready, and then he walks with you.
If you let him, because
If you
I
let,
think we need to be
yes.
really clear on that, because I think we all know people who are so angry that
Yeah.
something unfair has happened to them and they are justified in that anger.
Yes.
However, that anger, though it's a phase we have to go through and it's an emotion that we feel, if we embrace that anger, the hand, the comfort is pushed away.
Yeah. When I found my first heart, that was the beginning where I decided that I wanted more of that. And I was going to look for it every day. And I was going to invite God to walk with me that day. And I would purposely have conversations with him, whether in my heart or out loud. I believed that if I invited God to walk with me, then I looked for opportunities or times where I felt that he was there. And so now it's like I see hearts everywhere and I point it out to people and they're just like, I didn't notice. And so there was a lot of things that God kind of taught me about hearts when I would find hearts, because it sometimes it's like at the angle that you're standing or the height that you are is when you can notice that they're part.
Hey,
And
say that
so
again. Say that again. I want people to stand and visualize that with you.
it's at a you'll be able to notice a heart depending on the angle you are looking at it or the height that you see it from. Because sometimes from one angle, it may not look like a heart. But if you step back and move a little bit to the right, you'll notice that it's a heart.
Yeah.
And there were times that I asked God, like, teach me, why is it that you're sending me all these hearts every day? So it went from one heart to like five hearts and then to a ton of hearts. And there were times that I was, God, like, I'm okay. I've already gotten five hearts. Send it to other people because I know other people want to feel your love. And
Love is not limited.
exactly. And it was like with
Yeah.
him, he's giving everybody hearts all day long, you
Yeah.
know. And
And I
so
love this so much that it started with you inviting God to send this to you.
yes.
Asking shall receive comes to my mind, right? That
Right, exactly.
you could have been like, okay, God, I know you can do the whole resurrection thing. Let's do that. Like
Yeah.
you were like, just let this happen.
Yes.
This little tender thing, just so I know. I'm not asking you to solve the problem. I'm not asking you to take away even my pain. I'm
Right.
saying, just let me see.
Yes.
And that's such a beautiful, simple step for someone who is in depression, who is deep in grief, to allow little steps to happen. Because we get so, I'm sure you've heard that analogy where if you have a bunch of rocks, the big rocks, and you want to put them in a jar, you got to put the big rocks in first, then the little rocks will fill in around it, right? But I think sometimes, we have the big rocks so close to our eyes that we can't even see, and then if we move it further away, so when you were talking about if you look at the heart from a different angle. I'm like, in my mind came this visuality of a rock that, if I had it right up next to my eye, that's all I'm going to see is this rock. Like I'm a one-eyed person, right?
Right.
But then if I move the rock away from me, I see that it's really quite a small rock.
Right.
But when we start seeing things from inviting God in, we start seeing things from a different perspective. Of how big that problem is, or that it's a heart, that it's a message from God. And I love how you said, and it's so tender, and your voice cracked of that God's hand, that He is using this pain and this grief to bless other people.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that, or us a little bit more about that? I forget the listeners there sometimes because I'm like, thanks for sharing this with me. And then I'm like, oh, with everyone that's listening. You share a little bit more about how you know that God is using what, this like Hallmark drama show. Like, it's too sad for Hallmark, I'm like, the only way this is going to end happy is when she gets her angel wings. Not yet, right? Or a millionaire comes in that marries you that loves God. That would work. I don't know how Hallmark would write this one. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. A little bit more about how you know that even in your pain, even in this grief, even this justifiable poopy thing, that you could just be so angry and let it wreck your life, that you can see how God is using that for good in others' lives.
I know that that God, his ways are definitely higher than man's way. And that we're all in this life together. We're all on our own personal journey. And having a relationship with God, he has taught me that the only way for us to truly enjoy the journey back home is if we have good company. If we are able to be there to support, to sustain, to lift, and to walk with others. And so I kind of learned early on in my 20s that a lot of my sadness, there are other people who have gone through similar things or maybe feeling things. But because I've been able to overcome that part, I can reach back down into the ditch and pull out somebody else.
There you go. Because, empathy
Yes.
comes from walking with somebody or imagining that you're walking with them, because we don't all have the same exact experiences, and thank
Right.
heaven, right? Sympathy comes from, oh, that's too bad. That the lady who, oh, did you think to pray? That was sympathy gone awry. She was crying to imagine what had gotten me in that situation. And it was so out of her depth that surely I had done something wrong or missed to do a step, right? And that, that's a form of judgment, right? And even though
Right.
it wasn't her intention to be, what I call poopy, it definitely came across poopy. And I love that you're saying, I can reach in deeper to
Yes.
deeper holes, and that is a gift. That is a high level of love, Mile. That is a high level of love for your fellow man. And what comes to my mind is how God trusted you, and your husband is trusting you to hold it together.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have done this right after, I think, my daughter's birthday that, lives with God was just a couple days ago. So I'm just like, whoo, okay.
Yeah.
When we have people that we love that are held to a higher standard of accountability because they live with God, it holds us, doesn't it?
It does. It's given life so much more depth and meaning and purpose.
Yeah. Now, how long ago? So we're talking 3 years.
3 years ago. Yeah.
So my daughter has been gone for 15 years now. May 24th will be 15 years. And the first year, somebody told me it's the hardest because it's the first birthday, the first Christmas, the first, right? And for
Right.
me, I woke up on my daughter's fourth birthday, what would have been her fourth birthday, and I was like, it's a habit now. I knew that I could do it. And I was referring to this finding the hearts,
Yes.
finding, choosing to let God in, choosing my attitude, not being, and I had little kids, and ironically, my mother had a very justifiably poopy, so something very poopy happened to her, and I won't take time to share it right now. that broke her, and it's justifiable. You know, just like what you've been through could justifiably break you. And it's interesting how my looking at my mother's being broken, without resentment or really judgment to her, but just the realization that she checked out and the price I paid and that my siblings paid for that had me parent differently. So God made something really good come from it, right? That my son was the same age that I was when my mother was emotionally gone. And when she came back, she was angry. And then there was a lot of abuse that happened. And we were never allowed to have feelings because it was all about my mother's feelings. And, you know, that molded all of our lives. And so when it came to, I had a justifiable reason to stay in a corner in the fetal position, like you do, that I went, but who depends on me? And I think in today's world with social media, there's so many more people because, you know, you shared that even though I didn't have the details, you know, correct, you know, of how many days it was and everything, I have been able to admire how you've handled things and your beautiful message on love. And I wasn't sure if you would go there, you know, because I didn't want to be like, well, I remember there was this really painful thing, right? But there's me and how many other people are watching you. And when they come to their dark place, they can go, okay, if Mile did it, I can. You know? And yeah. And now you've got, you know, we get about 500 listens per episode. There's 500 more people who are like, you've made a little grimace of your face. Sorry. Five people really. That, you know, can think 29 days with your perfect sweetheart because you never even had a fight. And you guys were very cute together. And you have to live out many years without him. And that's not an easy thing. And I don't think we rationalize depression away by saying, oh, somebody else has it worse. However, I think it helps us intellectually analyze what emotions we're going to feed. And depression is conquered by working out, eating right, getting enough sleep, and self-talk. And it's so annoying, right? And in some cases, you know, medication, right? But you miss any one of those things, you might not be able to get over it. But you, if you're like, okay, I am a depressed person, I have reasons to be depressed, I'm going to go to work. I'm going to choose to treat my body with respect. I'm going to, you know, for, you know, those of us that are religious, you know, mental health and prayer are intertwined. You know, you have to do all those things. And in time, you can feel the depression ease. But you can't snap your fingers and be like, I'm going to sleep right tonight. I'm going to eat right tonight. And I'm going to work out today. And I'm going to do my prayers or meditation. And I'm going to be fine tomorrow. You know, it takes months of walking through the darkness sometimes. You know, and once those neural pathways are created in the brain, we have a propensity that we can go there again. And so we have to like fight that and work on that. And you're saying, I'm not going to fall because others depend on me. It's like hallelujah chorus. What are your thoughts right now? What you thinking, Mile?
That I truly blessed that God can count on me to be someone who, when I talk to my friends, and they have hard things that they deal with, I recruit them and tell them, well, now you can be a diver with me.
Oh.
We've overcome this hardship or parts of it. We have experience. We can dive into other people's darkness and pull them up or lead them to Christ. My greatest joy comes from service when I'm able to touch someone's soul and help them find some kind of light or strength to continue this journey, then I know that I'm doing something right. There's just so many people out there who struggle alone sometimes, who are in really dark places. They just don't know how to get out or what to do, so they just
And
stay
they
where they're
don't
at.
have the faith or the hope that what they're doing will get them there, which is why we need divers.
Years ago, when I was like early 20s, I had a dream, and that's where I got the divers. I had a dream that there were people stuck somewhere in the water, and it's crazy because in my dream was everybody was too scared to dive because they know that you may not come back up. And so a lot of people were frantically looking for people to dive. And it's crazy because I'm kind of nervous to share this,
Oh,
but
I we're all listening.
in my dream, people came running to me and was like, Mele, we found divers. And it's the three Nephites. But they need somebody to sit on the boat and hold the rope while they go down.
So in the Mormon tradition, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the three Nephites are like the apostles that asked to not taste of death. And so just so these are beings that we believe are eternal and immortal, and are waiting for Christ to return. And they go around and serve and bless other people's lives, like the apostles that asked to not taste of death after after Christ. So just making sure people had that reference, Mele. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. And so people came to me and told me that I was probably the only one that would be able to sit in the boat and hold the rope because it had to be somebody with tremendous faith that would not let go when times got really, really dark and hard. And I was just thinking, like, there's no way that it could be me. I don't know if I have that faith. But in my dream, when I thought of, well, if the three Nephites requested me and knew that I could, I guess I may develop that kind of faith. And so I did, and then I woke up. And so that's where I got the whole diving. It's like when people are in their darkness, because I've overcome some difficult things in life and will continue to strive to do so, I'm willing to dive back into the waters to find those who need help and to
Yeah.
help them.
One of the things that I think is a principle of resilience that I teach is to basically kind of map out your life and to look at the hard things you've had. And unlike when we're children, where our experience is not as deep, right? But as we get older, we've overcome things, and to basically use those things as like, a military gentleman, or person, might pin, I survived this war and I survived this war and I survived this war, then instead of it being a badge of victimhood, be a badge of honor. Look what I've been through, and you have been through something that's so horrendous that enables you to share with eloquence how God has impacted you in something that's too sad for a Hallmark show. And it's just beautiful. And I don't, if I could, hold your hand right now as, a sister or friend, I have had my moments where I have had impressions from God. And at first I felt a little embarrassed by them, like you felt sharing, the story of holding the rope. But I believe that when we call them what they are, visions from God, we become, as it talks about in the scriptures, a visionary people, right? And we see more of God touching us. And I have seen in my life, you said how service is, what brings you the greatest joy. And I wrote it down. It's so beautiful. That I have been able to see my fellow human beings with a greater love than I did before my daughter's death, before I became a better diver. Right? And that I can see more love because of my loss. And so I'm saying one of the little hearts that I'm sending you is own that spiritual vision that you had and be proud that you were trusted to hold the rope.
Thank you.
And if it's a friend at the other end, you need to be able to hold that badge of honor of being like, I am trusted to hold the rope. And I'm really into decorating. So I might even be like, hold the rope as a plaque that you have somewhere in your house. That nobody else might exactly know what it means, but I have a few things around my house. Now people are going to come be like, where are they? But just some things that I have around my home that are like accountability, because you know me, because you've been on my team, that I'm all about accountability, and just drives me nuts when people won't return and report, right? And if you're going to say you're going to do something, then do it, But those little reminders are about my home is a visual reminder and like a meditation or prayer altar, right? To remind me as I move about this space that I'm in so often of what I promised to do.
I love that.
And for example, next to Caitlin's picture, it says, we choose to be an eternal family. And that's one that I'm very open to share with people is that, the concept of families being forever is something that most religious people love. And in the church that you and I share, the faith that we share, that we believe that, when the work has been done, that we can be sealed or covenanted together as a family forever. And no one's going to be locked into that, but people that want that get it. And we literally say families are forever. But only if we choose that. And so I would basically, and my kids would be like, well, mom, it's not fair. And I'm like, life's not fair. And you have to choose it. You have to choose to see the hearts. You have to choose to hold the rope, right, Mile? So anyway, that's just my big sister lean into that. And for anyone else that's listening, if you've had some kind of spiritual experience, don't second guess it. Hold it. Analyze it. And share it where appropriate. Well, Mile, I just want to thank you. I have cried in this episode. You have cried in this episode. I'm sure those listening have cried. And I'm excited to share this. And thank you for your courage to come on and share such sacred and personal things with us. And I just am really honored that you take the time to do it after a long day of work to be so vulnerable with us. Takes a lot of emotional energy, and I just want you to feel recognized for that. So thank you, Mile, for doing that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on and for allowing me to share a part of my story
Well,
and a part of God's love.
the episode is about share your hotness, and it literally means that Everybody has a story. And that lady who's testing your asphalt in the city, in the state of Utah, people, you might just not see her in her best, but there is a fascinating story. And there's a fascinating story about everyone around you. And this is what the challenge of this podcast is talk to people. And I have been enriched greatly by my ability to talk to people. And that's why I wanted to share it, is because I wanted people to hear stories like this, Miley. So thank you so much for being on this episode of Share Your Hotness.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. This is Lita Green. And if you have enjoyed our podcast and would like to learn more about the principles that I teach as a speaker, I have a special opportunity for the young girls in your life. So I teach maturation programs. I wrote a book on overcoming sexual abuse, and I wrote a book on confidence. And I've had a lot of parents, I mean, a lot of parents come and say, I would love for your daughter to be, my daughter to be coached by you. But in order for me to coach individual daughters, that would be a lot of money. So I've come up with an idea of what we're going to do. I'm going to do a group mentorship, and you get to come along with your daughter. So I will be presenting principles that you and your daughter are able to go home and have the conversation. So really, you're the coach, but you're being given a conversation opener. So far, I have 8 workshop topics. So if you'd like to have more information about those, they are literally only going to be $40 each. And even better, if you have 2 girls, that's 80. If you have 5 girls or 4 girls or 3 girls, it's 100 per family. I am not doing this to make a ton of money. I am doing this because our girls need to have the information, frankly, that I've been teaching for years. And I want to make that accessible to more than just the one-on-one that come to me and ask for my time as a coach. And because I have to charge money per hour, you know? So this way we're getting it cheaper and accessible, and they can learn with others. And I'm hoping this will be amazing for everybody involved. So let me know if you want more info.